It is great to be back in the pulpit here at Merriam. My position at the Kansas City Zoo doesn't always allow me to fill the pulpits when I want to. Mark has called me a couple times, and we weren't able to work out a particular Sunday, but I am so thankful that I am able to be here today with all of you. Our scriptures this morning have a lot of things going on, a lot of words to consider. The 11 verses that we have just heard are somewhat confusing. I read them in, I think, four different versions when I was trying to prepare for this morning. They're actually the Paul's theology of justification, Paul's theology of perfection. It's thought that these words are from Paul's experiences. So I have a question for all of you, just to start off. Have any of you ever tried to be perfect? I have. I've attempted to be perfect. I'm not so good at it, but I've tried. I've tried. And the only thing that caused was me to be more isolated, me to feel lousy about myself. And it left me with guilt that I couldn't be perfect. This third week of Lent, I hope that maybe as we journey together, we can look at this maybe a bit differently. Let's get away from the guilt and the isolation, because there's another way, and it has nothing to do with our own efforts. Have any of you seen the new movie, The Shack? It's out. Have you read the book? Yeah. Some of us have seen the movie. Some of us have read the book. Now, I have to start with saying that I don't normally go to movies that have a Christian theme. I didn't go see The Passion with Mel Gibson. I had no interest in seeing that movie. The people that I run around with really had no interest in seeing that movie. And I don't know why The Shack was different. I don't know why. It's not something that I would normally read or something that I would normally, a movie that I would normally go to. But for some reason, this was different. A couple weeks ago, my husband and I went up to see our son that lives up in Indianapolis. And we always tried to choose a book that we listened to, an Audible book, on our way whenever we head up to see him. And so this time, for some reason, and I don't know why, it's not something either of us listened to, but we chose The Shack. And we listened to the book on the way up there. And there was very little conversation, 8.5 hours up to see him, and very little conversation going on in our car because we were so enthralled with this book. We maybe spoke 5 words, and they probably had to do with bathroom stop, I'm hungry, or we need gas. And that's about the only conversation that occurred in this 8.5 hours that we were in the car together, because we were so focused on what was happening in this book. It kept our attention the whole way. And then after reading the book, we decided when we got back home we needed to see the movie. So we did. We went and we saw the movie. There were some parts in both the book and the movie that kind of took me by surprise. And the one piece that I just keeps going over and over in my mind was where the author talked about how it doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, or what you call God or a higher power. What matters is that you take the journey. Our scripture today is all about Paul's focus on the believer's relationship with God that is created and sustained through grace. We can't earn God's love, nor can we earn a relationship with God. Again, there's so many different things that we can look at in today's scripture. So I want to start with what is called a creative tension between the Christ on the cross and the Christ to come that holds us steady when we're confronted with the threats that the world puts upon us. I want to take just a moment and read just the first couple verses of our scripture from Romans one more time. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. When we look at our scripture as a whole this morning, there's a gap between where we are right now and where we want to be. As we reach for the fullness of Christ, we're left empty-handed. Yet how we choose to think about this is one of the main factors that determine our spiritual lives. Do we give up because we don't get what we want or we don't see it as an opportunity to be embraced? Whichever way we choose, there will be a corresponding impact on our own spiritual growth. Peter Sagg, in his book, The Fifth Discipline, makes the important distinction between creative tension and emotional tension. And that's where we find our gap this morning. When we have an idea in our minds about what we would like our reality to be, we recognize that our current reality is far from that. The result that we feel is the tension, the emotional tension. But that tension doesn't always have to be bad. The anxiety-filled emotional tension that we often feel is not the only response that a human can make when we realize that there's work to be done. We can respond instead with enthusiasm. We can respond with excitement and energy and decisiveness. This kind of tension is a positive stimulus that urges us in the direction to do something, in the direction to do good work. That's what Sinch calls the creative tension. Spiritual growth happens when we act on the creative tension and see it as an opportunity to grow closer to God and then to accept God's help. Moving forward is what spiritual life is all about. If we're growing spiritually, we're reaching forward and we're narrowing that gap. If we choose to do nothing and we choose to stop looking for God in the world around us, then we become stagnant. We become a place where there's no growth, there's no understanding, and there's no opportunity to reach out. The peace that Paul is talking about at the very beginning of our scripture is an uneasy peace. It's not the peace that we find when we're laying in a recliner chair on the deck of a cruise ship floating around in the Caribbean. That's not the peace that we're being called to. Paul's peace is one that knows God is with us every step of the way. A peace that surpasses any other peace, even during our hard times. That God, through Jesus Christ, is with us. The peace of Christ is unlike any of the world's promises. While the world offers peace as an escape from our disputes or our troubles, Christ's peace assures a stability and a serenity, not apart from, but in the midst of those hard times, no matter what it is that life throws at us. Now think about the incredible power of God's love that in the face of our weaknesses trumps God's own wrath with reconciling compassion embodied in the crucified and risen Christ. Paul's focus is on the believer's relationship with God, a relationship that is sustained through grace. Where I think we struggle at times is that we want this relationship, but it usually comes at a time when we're in need. When something big hits us and we don't know what else to do but to fall to our knees and pray. What we need to understand is that relationship is there every single day, day in and day out. We heard in the Exodus passage this morning that the people were afraid, that they were hungry and that they were thirsty, and they started questioning Moses about whether the Lord was coming at all. The people were frustrated, and frankly, I think Moses was frustrated as well. But God reminded Moses that he possessed the tools to solve his problem. He told him that, you know that staff that you had, that you hit and you split the waters, the Nile? You have what you need. The passage sets the table for bits of honest confession during this Lenten season. What is it that we are thirsty for in our spiritual waters that we haven't found yet? Like the Gatorade, what will quench our thirst? A better spiritual connection with God? Perhaps a better prayer life? More money? Perhaps softer cushions on the pews? The connection we have with God can answer all of these questions, including softer pews, because God puts us in relationship with other people. And all people have gifts and talents, and God puts us in connection with one another. God forms relationships with us and through us. God knows all, and God listens to all. We just need to be open to hear the word of God. Few have known the thirst of God's absence more profoundly than Mother Teresa, whose private writings tell of a long and terrible sense of abandonment that bordered on a living hell. Even in such darkness, however, that tiny woman of God clung to the beliefs that she bore in her body and soul, the love of an infinite thirsty God, and that her labors on behalf of the hopeless ones helped to satisfy the burning thirst of Jesus on the cross. I want to look back on the book or the movie The Shack. The key character in this in the movie was Mac or McKenzie. He was struggling with the abduction and the murder of his daughter. Mac's wife knew the grace and love of God. She even called him Papa. She shared the same knowledge with their children and with Mac. But Mac, on the other hand, struggled with his understanding and his belief. When his daughter died, all Mac knew how to do was to blame God for not being there to protect her. Now, I don't want to give too much away for those of you that may want to still see the movie. But Mac comes to know and understand God in many ways and understands that God was with Missy, his daughter, all along. I mentioned in the very beginning that there was a line about being Christian or Jewish or Muslim, and that it didn't matter what words you use to address God, but that it was the journey that mattered. Paul's words about sinners and enemies undercut any Christian pretensions of superiority over other groups or races or religious communities that we might have. It is through Christ that we receive reconciliation. Through Christ, God reveals the nature of the divine love, a self-giving love that suffered death on a cross for us, even though we don't always deserve that love. Through faith, we understand perfection is not necessary for us to be loved by God. We don't have to justify ourselves because we are loved, and that is all the justification that we need. We are in relationship with God, not because of our efforts, but because of God's loving actions. Through faith, we enter into that relationship and discover the hope and the peace and the perseverance even in the midst of suffering. One of my favorite theologians is Paul Tillich, and he has articulated Paul's theology powerfully by writing this. We are accepted by God, although being unacceptable according to the measure of the law, and all we must do is accept this acceptance. We are called to be a listener, a prophet, possibly even a coach. We can talk all we want to here in this room, but when we leave this building, it is brought to life by you and me, the people. The road is long and winding, and the journey will be difficult, just like it was for Jesus on the way to the cross. But it is well worth it if we keep in mind the promise of the Christ to come. May God's blessing be upon all of us this day. Amen.